Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm on. Okay. Welcome back, Financial Issues. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533 if you want to queue your call. By the way, Samaritan Ministry, someone called, said I was talking too fast, which that's what I do. I talk way too fast. I get it. I understand. I apologize. And they missed the phone number. Now, I said that maybe they didn't have a pen. So when you don't have a pen and you're rushing around looking for a pen, then I really am talking fast. But anyway, 877-764-2426. Although I suspect Darlene gave him the number. But 877-764-2426. If you listened to the last segment, the third segment of the last hour, you heard me talking to Twyla Brace. It was a unscheduled interview, but you know, the talk yesterday afternoon with President Trump signing an executive order in reference to healthcare, and it is concerning. It is concerning to me. It should be concerning to you. I don't think it's concerning to the president because I don't think he kind of fully understands it. On surface, it seems like a pretty good deal. It is not. We're going to have the government more intrusive, more involved in our healthcare and involved in making decisions. But it's okay because we should be fine, because if the government's not making those decisions, big insurance companies are making those decisions. And surely they care about the quality of our health. They're not worried about profit or anything like that. They care about the quality of our health. So either way, it should be fine, right? I'm being sarcastic, by the way, in case anybody didn't pick up on it. So anyway, that's, so I just, after all this came out, we got Twyla on the phone and we did a little interview, and then I thought, my word, thankfully, I don't have to worry about this. Because I can be in another country, and I have Samaritan Ministries, and I can go to any doctor I want in another country. You know, over in Israel, I don't know how many of you have been there, but there are probably more doctors there than in any other country per capita that practice on their own that are strictly cash. So you pay cash or credit card. They're not. They are not involved in the national health system. And there are some of the best doctors, cancer doctors, other doctors, all trained here in America, most of them American citizens. And they're practicing over there. So, and that is true everywhere, particularly where there's some sort of socialized or nationalized medicine. All right. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you can do that. We've got Craig Hauger coming up with our Ag Report, and it looks like it's becoming a little bit more in focus, our Ag, than ever. We are going to have a whole lot of stocks that are going to be impacted by concerns of weather, and it's everywhere. I mean, they're getting snow in... where'd they get snow yesterday? I have a nephew that Steamboat Springs, Colorado. They got snow yesterday. And they're getting more last night and today. So, you know, flooding everywhere. So all of this hurting crops around the world, and certainly going to start driving some prices up here. And we're going to see some of those prices start to go up on the shelves without any doubt about it. I'm sure we will. So something to think about and consider. And all the more important that Craig Haugert is part of our team here at Financial Issues. And we are so grateful for Craig, who is putting together a very early morning the Ag Report for us every day. And if you miss it, which is on in a few minutes, but if you miss it by about 11:30 Eastern Time, 10:30 Central Time, it is posted on our website. So if you miss it, or there's an awful lot of people that I talk to now that don't even listen to it, so they come in from the fields, they're going, they're, you know, sitting down, or they're getting ready to eat their evening meal, maybe sometimes before they go back out, and they are listening to the Ag Report then, and that's great. So we are grateful to Craig for the work he does. And I know a lot of you don't understand a lot of what he's saying or don't even realize the importance of it, but we have a lot of ranchers and farmers that listen to our program all around the country. And we love our hardworking, and I mean hardworking. You know, I always tell people the only job harder than being a rancher, farmer, especially or dairy farmer, is a single mom, and then a single mom that's homeschooling. You know, that's some of the toughest jobs in the world for sure. And our farmers are right up there with them, and we appreciate what they do for all of us. So. We want to do what we can for them. And for years and years, I have given some pretty lame ag reports every day. I would go through the numbers, and that's all I did was just go through the numbers. Craig brings a totally different perspective on it. He's great, and we sure appreciate him. So Craig is coming up with the ag report, and then when we get back, we're going to get to some phones if you want to queue your call up, 844-707-5533. Financial Issues, I'm Dan Celia. Here's Craig. And again, right after Craig, we will be back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Wet weather over the weekend translated into higher corn prices yesterday. After the close, the Crop Progress Report placed the corn crop at 96% planted, with 89% emerged. Now, normally at this point in the year, 99% should be emerged. The crop was rated as 56% good to excellent, which is down sharply from the five-year average of 77% in that category. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 2 cents higher. Soybeans were mixed in adverse weather as well. After the close, the crop progress report showed 85% of the crop planted, with 71% emerged. Historically, we'd be at an emergence rate of 91% by this date. We had our first crop conditions rating of the year yesterday as well, and that placed the crop at 54% good to excellent, and that lags the five-year average of 73% good to excellent at this point in the year. Clearly, this crop faces some significant challenges moving forward. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up a nickel as I record this. The wheat market was higher on weather as well, and only in this case it was hot, dry weather in much of Europe, Canada, and the former Soviet Union offered support. After the close, the crop progress report showed winter wheat is 94% headed, with 15% harvested. Seasonally, we would expect 34% of the crop to have been harvested by now. 7% of the spring wheat crop is headed, with 75% of that crop being seen as good to excellent. In the overnight trade, Chicago is unchanged, while Kansas City is up a penny, and Minneapolis is trading 3 cents higher. Cotton finished a bit stronger on Monday, with the December futures up 13 points to settle at 65.69. 96% of the cotton crop is now planted, with 30% squaring and 3% of the crop setting bulls. Livestock futures in general had a tough Monday. August live cattle futures were 20 cents higher, but August feeder cattle finished the session down $1.90. August lean hogs were hit hard once again as they finished down $3.67.5 per hundredweight. Class 3 milk futures had a very slow session, with July futures closing unchanged, and the overnight trade spot futures are trading 5 points lower as I record this. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were down 8 cents to settle at $2.1974, while selects were 26 cents higher for the day as they settled at $1.9981. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished 60 cents higher as they closed out the session at $77.33. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more Financial Issues after this.
Welcome back. 844-707-5533. If you want to cue your call up, let me go right to phones. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Leslie. Leslie's calling us from Mississippi. Hi, Leslie.
Hey, Dan. A couple of quick comments, and I hope I don't drop my cell signal. But, hey, number one, thank you and God bless you for your ministries. I really do appreciate your knowledge and insight and your willingness to share with others. People just don't realize what you're doing, and what if you were out in the market doing this in a private practice, the price they would be paying for your advice. So thank you, and it's biblically responsible. Yes, that is the most important thing, but secondly, you provide peace of mind. So
thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. And thank you for your service. I think it's even more important to remind our servicemen how much we appreciate everything they've done for us and their sacrifice. So
you're welcome.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So my third comment is about the insurance, and I mean the health care.
Yes.
And President Trump declaring the fact that he's going to require them to list out their costs.
Yes.
You hit the nail on the head with the insurance companies. I'm actually in the pharmaceutical industry, and it's the exact same issue with the having to announce the prices of drugs. There's the overall cost, which nobody pays, just like Twyla said. That's like the average wholesale cost or the retail cost. But nobody pays that because either they have Medicare Part D or they have insurance, or if they don't have any, oftentimes they qualify for a patient assistance program. So none of that is accurate, and it is the insurance companies that are getting all the dough, I mean the cash. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And Blue Cross Blue Shield Mississippi is the world's worst. They have this huge monstrosity of a facility in Jackson, Mississippi, and there's never a car parked in front. They're shut out. Everybody is running as they feel willy-nilly. People making decisions that don't have medical degrees. So it's shameful. It really is. And I didn't realize they were still getting subsidies from Obamacare.
Yeah,
so
they are.
Thank you for the insight. That's ridiculous. Because they're so profitable, it's disgusting, and it's taken money from, hard-earned money from people like me and you and whoever else is out there schlepping every day to make a penny. So just shameful.
Well, you know,
and it's the exact same thing.
There were a lot of insurance companies that wouldn't go into the exchanges because it was either a very unhealthy exchange in the sense that it was in a county or you know, a state, or it was not enough people and whatever. And there were, and companies saw this as, you know, we're not, of course, this is what they said, we can't make any money by going into those exchanges. And Obama subsidized them. He gave them money. He gave them a bribe is what it was. It was nothing more than a bribe. It was a bribe to get them to go into the exchanges so that Obamacare wouldn't collapse before it even got started. So the bribe was given, and now it's a permanent bribe. It's a bribe we keep renewing, and they're going to get that, I guess, forever until somebody stops it. So that's how it came about.
That whole thing just drives me nuts.
Oh, but, it's sickening. It's sickening. It really is.
It is. And I know Trump's heart is not in socialism, so I just don't think he understands the ramifications of what he's doing. I hope he's someone has his ear and is communicating that.
I hope
to
so.
Him.
I hope so.
Yes, amen. That's what we'll pray for.
We're going to send. We ought to. We need to send him a radio with just this program on it or something, so we can give him the insights. But it is. It is true. I hope somebody's got his ear. We need it. That's for sure. And you're right. I agree with you. It's not his heart at all. And but you know, when you're that busy and you're trusting so many people, you tend to read what's put before you on some things anyway and go with it.
Right.
Thank you, Leslie. Yeah.
Thank you.
And you've encouraged me. I sure appreciate it. God bless.
Awesome.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let me get to Carrie. Carrie calling us from Texas. Hey, Carrie.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I just want to echo Leslie's comments on just thanking you for all you do and the peace of and she said it perfectly, is peace of mind. Mm. And just the advice, taking people's questions, taking my questions, it's just so appreciated so much. So thank
well,
you.
Thank you. Thank you. And we just praise God that we're allowed to, we're able to be here. Isn't that great? So thank you.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. He give him the praise for all.
Amen. Yep.
And I do have a question
okay.
for you. On our personal finances, we sold a property and we have a sum of money. And my husband's concerned about that there's more downside in the market than upside. And so we're asking, should we put that in bonds or stocks? And we're in our late 30s.
So, Carrie, do you think you're going to eventually use that to buy another property? Was it an investment property?
It was.
Yeah. Do you think you'll use that in the next 2 or 3 years?
No, and if we did, it would probably be a portion of it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
it's possible a portion.
I would like to see you put that in an investment account. You know, just a joint investment account, not a IRA account. And I would probably say that you ought to take. I don't know what the portion might be, but I would say half of what is there, maybe that you probably ought to invest in something that is moderately aggressive, some good solid equities. I don't know if you follow us on the website. If you do,
yes.
It would be those things that are in yellow. Some just good, strong foundational stocks that, yeah, they're going to go down. One in particular I'm thinking of is down, not considerably anymore. It's come up in the last couple of weeks, but, they're going to go down. They're going to move down and up too. But in the long run, you know, as you plug along year after year, you know, they're going to be a good, strong part of a portfolio. The other half, I would probably want you to be in either 2-year kind of CDs. I wouldn't want you to be in bonds or a bond mutual fund, but I would be okay being in some CDs. Or if you look at my schedule under cash, you'll notice in there that I've got I'm trying to find it as we speak. It's the number on it, but it is on the buy list. It is a Ginnie Mae fund, and I believe it's the only one that is a Ginnie Mae fund, and it's noted as such. And if you put it in there and park it, just leave it alone, will it go down? It could go, it's going to go down a little bit. Frankly, in my IRA, that's what I use for any cash that I have. And it's kind of to the point where even if it goes down, I'm still up because it's just accumulated over the years. But it's probably going to send you an annual yield about as much as you would get in, say, an 18-month, 2-year CD. And, yes, the price could fluctuate a little bit. It's, you know, it's going to go down a little, go up a little, but a very small range. And I'm talking 10 cents. You know, it might go down 10 cents, it might go up 10 cents, but it's not going to fluctuate a whole lot. And that might be a good place just to kind of park it until you kind of feel like, what you might do with some of that. And I'm not saying it has to be 50%, but whatever you feel like you might want to call upon to use in another investment, a real estate investment of some sort, maybe in a few years. I'm thinking that the market is getting worse and worse. I've got some comments about that next hour, but is getting worse and worse in the real estate market everywhere. And I think there may be some really good prices. Matter of fact, I was talking to my wife this morning about it, about some in an area of the country where just kind of looking for maybe a winner thing. And I just said, man, the rate, it's just every day, you know, because they're overbuilt in some areas. They're overbuilt and you've got the market being soft. So it would be wise to hold on to some of that in the cash.
Okay. For the part that we would put in those moderately aggressive, kind of a good solid equities, would that be something that we did, you would recommend we do over time or?
Yeah, I would do it over time. I would do it over not a lot of time, but over the next 6 months. Okay. So if that money is, $600, I would divide it by six, whatever it is, I would divide by six, and I would put, you know, 100 hours in this month, 100 hours in a month from now, and so on and so forth. Over the next 6 months, you'll have it in. The only thing that would stall or change that is if in 3 months, say, the market really went through a severe downturn. And then at that point, I'd want you to get it all in. I probably would tell you, don't wait. Don't wait for another 3 months. Maybe move it all in and give you some opportunity to dollar cost average down on what you did. And then I would just forget about it. But yeah, that's what I would do over the course of 6 months.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I appreciate that. I apologize for the 4-year-old in the background.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I get it. Yep. Good.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome, Gary. Thank you, and I appreciate your partnership so much. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Same to you.
844-707-5533. By the way, indices are all negative territory. The Dow's down 138 points, which is a half of 1%. The S&P down little under half of 1%. And the NASDAQ's down almost, I'm going to say it's two-thirds of 1%. So that's where we are. Oil is up right now. Oil was negative a fair amount here early this morning before the stock market opened. Oil markets were open, but before the stock market opened, it has now turned positive as the tensions mount in Iran and oil supply gets a little bit troublesome. Hey, we got a great interview coming up, a very, very historical move made yesterday. Last week, and it's with Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty. So stay tuned. Financial Issues, I'm Dan Searle. It was great to be here. Hey, I mentioned this earlier. We've been talking about it, but we've got a special guest with us, Kelly Shackelford, president of CEO First Liberty, firstliberty.org. You've heard me talk about him. I talk about him on a very regular basis, with or without Kelly on the air. And because we think it's so important that as believers, as people that care about America and care about our religious freedoms, we have to support First Liberty. And it's because of all of our support, all of you that support this ministry, that they're able to do the incredible work for not only for us, but as I was talking about last hour, talking about what they've done for me, for my grandchildren, that, you know, someday I hope I have all 8 of my grandchildren and are able to walk through Arlington National Cemetery and not have to explain why there aren't certain religious objects there that should be there. And Kelly, welcome. We sure appreciate it.
Oh, it's a privilege to be on, Dan. Thank you.
And Kelly, you know, what a historical win for America, for all of us. And I suspect that this Supreme Court case that you argued back on February 27th that is going to be mentioned in future cases for many, many years. And what a blessing that it's going to be mentioned as a victory and citing why it was a victory and hopefully help win a whole lot of other cases as well. So what an amazing win. We thank you. Tell us what kind of week it's been last week and how great this has been
Well, for all of us. Well, it's a great week. You know, this was the keystone. We had two other pretty significant victories, but this was the big one because really we had 50 years of bad law under a case called the Lemon case. And that case had been used for 50 years as a basis for attacking, you know, religious monuments or symbols, or, you know, you see the attacks on Ten Commandments or nativity scenes or menorahs or veterans memorials that have a cross or a Star of David, or, and all of those are coming not because the Constitution says to do any such thing, but because this Lemon case that had been handed down 50 years ago was causing all these attacks. And we, you know, not only went for a victory on behalf of the Bladensburg Cross in this case, this memorial that's been up for almost 100 years that was put up by mothers who lost their sons in World War I, but we said, you know, you certainly shouldn't tear this down, because if you do, you're going to have to go into Arlington and tear down the crosses there. You're going to have to go into every community around the country. But really, this needs to stop. All these attacks need to stop. And so you need to get rid of Lemon. And we didn't know for sure if they would do that. And, you know, to our, you know, joy, they not only upheld the Bladensburg Veterans Memorial, but they also said Lemon is not helpful. It's not the law. It's not what the Constitution says. We're not applying it in this case. In fact, we're never going to apply it in these type of cases again. It's dead. And that is a huge, 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 I mean, that's like the ship's been going one direction for 50 years. It just turned. And that's a really big result.
Well, you know, we appreciate so much what First Liberty does. And, you know, I say it with all sincerity to our listeners and viewers. And, you know, it's so critically important that we can continue these battles. You know, the war's not going to be won until a lot of battles are fought. And that's what these are. And these battles and every win is so critical to us winning, you know, the war. And we continue to fight those, and you guys are on the front lines. And I know that you are supported through donations as a ministry, and we sure appreciate that. And I would just encourage everybody listening, firstliberty.org, folks, firstliberty.org. You need to support this ministry. You really need to support the work that they are doing. We all do. If you have children, grandchildren, or are going to have either one, you need to support firstliberty.org, and I hope you'll do that. And you've had some other cases this week. Well, first of all, good news about somebody that you know real close, real well.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, before I even say that, I want to say in response to what you just said there, Dan, I just want to thank you. You have mentioned First Liberty before to your listeners, and you've said, look, you're going to be a supporter, and you challenged a lot of your listeners. And a lot of listeners did come on and make some donations, and they're all tax deductible. We're a nonprofit, 501c3. I just want to tell everybody who contributed, you were just a part of a Supreme Court victory that changes history. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody, because everybody who contributed was a part of what just happened last week. And I would say this, if you're not involved yet, get involved, because this is just the beginning. I mean, we turned the ship on this one, but I kind of feel like we just opened the door to the house, and now we're about to build the rooms. We're now about to really move back on religious freedom and restore freedoms that we haven't had in many, many decades. And so if you're not a part, be a part. I just want to say thank you to you, Dan, and your listeners for being a part of this first major victory that we had last week.
You know, Kelly, we're on, you know, 650 stations and 70 TV stations across the country. And if everybody listening and or watching would just do a little bit on a regular basis to First Liberty, you guys would have the resources you need just from all of these people, all these great people that, and you know, it's a good kind of pride you should take that you did God's work and did a great work for America by getting on the front lines with First Liberty by supporting the ministry. And I know My wife and I talk about that is, you know, that so many, we love to support those works that are doing such a powerful thing, not only for our religious freedom and what I would consider, some would argue with me on this, but what I would consider kingdom work that needs to be done. And to see our dollars being used in that way for victories, for those things and for our future generations, it's amazing. And we're so grateful to you. So it is great. And I hope all our listeners are taking it to heart and feeling good about participating in that victory, firstliberty.org. So tell us what just happened in the federal courts with another great appointee.
Yeah, I think if people know, one of the reasons for these changes, the reason we got the victory we got in this Bladensburg Cross case, the American Legion case, was because of the justices we had on the court. When we were in the oral argument, to look to my right and see Justice Kavanaugh, who, by the way, you know, almost 20 years ago as a young attorney, donated time with me on religious liberty cases.
Oh, wow.
This is a guy who goes way back in caring about religious freedom. And then looking to my left and seeing Justice Gorsuch, who has written more opinions before he was on the Supreme Court on religious freedom than anybody I've seen. He's just solid. So to have them on the court, I mean, we're getting more judges and justices on the court who follow the Constitution, the words of the Constitution, not what some other liberal judge wrote 50 years ago. That's not what the Constitution says. We're going to start going back to our first principles, and I think we're going to start to see that in a lot of ways. And an example of that, what you're asking about, is last week, a young man by the name of Matt Kaczmarek was just appointed to the federal bench for life. He's now a federal judge for the rest of his life. He was a top of his class guy, went to work for a major law firm, then went to work for the Justice Department. He actually was a U.S. attorney, and he put away terrorists and won an award for his work in putting away terrorists and national security for the country. Well, he left there. Well, where did he go? He came to work for us at First Liberty. He was one of our deputy general counsels, and just last week he was voted through the Senate, and he is now a federal judge for the rest of his life. And this is a guy that Trump appointed at age 39, and so he's young, but he is brilliant. He is never going to turn away from the Constitution. He's strong in his faith, and he's going to be the kind of judge you'll never have to worry about. And he's going to be there for not only our grandkids, but our grandkids' kids. I mean, he's going to be there a while, and this is what can really – you can see how things are changing for the future of our country.
Mm. Wow, what a blessing. You know, when we see these things, it is just amazing. And we have to understand, think about the two justices that would not be there had God not raised up Donald Trump into the presidency. They wouldn't be there. And
sure.
This case would have gone probably in a very different direction. So, boy, so many blessings this year that we need to hang our hat on. And I know we're running out of time here. But I don't know if you can do it in 30 seconds, but give us a shot.
Sure.
On Oregon.
Yeah, the other case, we had the case with the two bakers out of Oregon who,
yep,
I think a lot of people have heard about them, who because of their faith could not do a custom cake for a same-sex wedding, the result of which they ended up being fined $135,000 by the state of Oregon, their business bankrupted. Last week, the Supreme Court threw out that decision below against them, sent it back down and said, you redo this because you have not considered the hostility to religion that is our former case, the Masterpiece case, pointed out you can't engage in. So it was a great week.
Wow.
And a great day for the Kleins, who have been through just unbelievable turmoil with what they've had to go through, having their business taken away. And to have this lower court decision in Oregon thrown out was another good day for us last week. And
wow.
But we still got to go back and fight it all the way through. I think we're going to win. But again, I encourage people, get behind the Kleins, get involved with these things, be in prayer, support, spread the word, because these are really important cases for the future.
Amen.
Of everybody who runs their business to be
Amen.
Able to run their business according to their faith.
FirstLiberty.org, folks. FirstLiberty.org. First is spelled out. FirstLiberty.org. Go to the site. Kelly, thank you, brother. We sure appreciate it.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome back. Thank you for that, folks. I sure appreciate you being here with us. And I just want to mention to you, let me give you the phone number if you want to call First Liberty, and or maybe not. I thought I had the phone number written down, but I don't. So I won't give it to you. But Ian's going to look it up for me, and he'll get it to me. But I'll give that to you in case you want to call. You know, it's a ministry that we need to be thinking about and supporting. This is a ministry that has done so much for our freedoms that you can't even imagine. And, you know, this case that they won in the Supreme Court, I don't know if you remember, they argued this case on February 27th. On February 26th, Kelly was on the program with us. And he was on the program from D.C. He was there with his the attorneys that were working, getting ready to make the argument in the Supreme Court the next day, and they were preparing their briefs. And he checked in with us, you know, that the day before he argued the case. And he said then, he told me, I asked him, when would we have a decision? And he said May, probably not till May or June, and sure enough. So we got the decision. They won the case. What's the number, Ian? Okay. Oh, yeah, no, 972. Go ahead. I thought you were.
Sorry about that. It's 972. Uh-huh. 941.
941.
4444.
Okay, so 4444. So 972-941-4444. So you can call that number if you want to help, because all of you, so many of our Financial Issues family has given to First Liberty over the years. And it's because of you that we won together that Supreme Court decision. And it was an amazing decision. We're very excited about it. So I hope you'll check it out. And it is a great ministry. They are out of Plano, Texas, by the way. They're housed in the Hope Center right there in Plano. And I've been there four or five times and have spoke. As a matter of fact, I was the first one to speak in their new auditorium facility that they have there. And we packed it out. But we've been there several times. That's where First Liberty is housed. So I hope you'll check it out. All right, let me go to phones. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Shell from Tennessee. Hey, Shell.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful. I wanted to ask a question regarding the ABLE account. I have a 31-year-old son who is disabled, and I'm projecting at least 20 years of savings before he will need to use the money.
Okay.
In the state of Tennessee, I understand there are 14 investment options. They list companies that handle the ABLE accounts, but I don't know anything about the companies, and I don't know what investment accounts to use. In addition, they also say on their national website that you're not limited to the investment options given by your state, but that you can actually use a number of other or look at another or you invest in other investment options. So, you know, I'm really confused.
Yeah. So
there's a lot to pick from.
Will your son get, or does he get some disability and other assistance?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he get some from the state and county as well?
No.
Okay. So, and maybe it's irrelevant because your state and county don't offer anything, so it might not matter. But I would stick with the ABLE accounts, but they probably, if you go directly to them, they're probably not under any real obligation to fill you in on the individuals of the account, because they may pool those funds, meaning that they're putting the money you put in there with a lot of other money that other people are putting in there, and they're not, maybe not under any obligation. I don't know this, but usually not under any obligation to disclose that. I would, having said that, your other option would be to open up an account and start investing on a very regular basis between now and the next 20 years on a consistent basis. And I would probably elect for you to take a look at a couple of ETFs that you know are going to be biblically responsible, and you know that you can put in, you know, whatever you're going to put in, $25 a month, $50 a month, doesn't matter, whatever it is. And I think that would make a lot more sense. So you could go to a Fidelity.com or an E-Trade or one of those. I would suggest that you look at two ETFs, and I'll give you the symbol of the ETFs. ETF is like a mutual fund, a little bit different. There's no fees attached to them. And they're, it's TPLC, and the other one is TPHD. Now, you don't really have to understand it totally. You just need those symbols to give to whoever opens the account up for you, wherever you do that. You can do that online. You can open the account up. And that will be, you know, available. You know, you'll be able to put whatever you're going to do on a regular basis. You're going to have a certain amount of money come out of your checking account, if you want, the day you get paid. And if it's $25, if it's $100, whatever it is, doesn't matter. And it automatically is going to go in there. And I would put 60% in TPLC and 40% in TPHD. And I wouldn't do anything else. I wouldn't look at anything else. I wouldn't be concerned about anything else. I would just keep plugging away and putting that money in there on a regular basis. And I think you'll do fine.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
I appreciate your calling. Thanks, y'all. Take care. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Marcy in Illinois. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Dan. I just wanted to give you a call. I have been a nurse practitioner now going on 26 years, and an RN for about 49 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm still working part-time as I'm retired, because I feel like this is a calling. Mm-hmm. But I want to make a comment about some of Twyla Grace's and some of the other things we've been saying here about insurances.
Yes.
I have seen a big change since when I first started out.
Yeah.
And hospital rooms were $35. They were posted outside at the hospital.
Right.
And you came in to check in, et cetera. And today, they're much, much more than that. But this is just not a simple fix. I am disappointed in our president. I think probably he's getting some bad information.
Yes.
And that's what always goes on in the government. We do not want government in charge of our medicine.
Right.
They, you know, they just don't know. But at the same time, part of that's come because the doctors have been really poor managing it. You know, and now that we have patients coming in who go to the internet and they look and they want this, they want that, you know, they're still afraid of getting a lawsuit or missing something, or, you know, and or they just don't want to argue with the patient. So we're giving out care that doesn't need always to get be given care. The last 5 years I've worked as a hospitalist in a big city down in Houston area. And I can tell you, everybody that comes in with a head injury gets a CT scan of the brain. And here's the thing. They've probably been in within the last couple of months. So how many times do you keep doing CT scans of the brain?
Right.
When do we not use our judgment like we used to, that, you know, there's nothing going on here that indicates right now maybe we should put them in for 24-hour observation and make sure that they're okay, have them report back to their doctor or come back to the ER if things aren't well. But people are afraid to do that.
Yeah.
And we're also into this sentiment where we don't turn anybody away for health care. And I've seen the departments, which we have some excellent people who can speak all kinds of languages, that go in and try to get people who do not have insurance, that are probably many of them illegal,
right.
sign up for those insurances and do paperwork for them,
sure.
and they come back again in 2 weeks because we're their main stay of care,
yeah.
and they still haven't done their part.
Yeah, well, it's a difficult.
Keep writing it off.
Yeah, it's a difficult system, and that's the problem, and that's what Twyla was saying. What's going to happen to the poor? What's going to happen to how they going to you know, regulate this, watch this? And one of the things that I said from a financial perspective, I'm an economist, I'm not a nurse, but you know, I remember my wife was a nurse for 35 years, and in the last couple of years, she was the only RN on the floor, and there was this thing called this MDS, this government paperwork stuff. And the RN had to sign off on it. And she said, I'm not signing anything unless I'm doing it. I'm not signing something that somebody else has done. So anyway, she ended up doing it for 3 or 4 years, I guess it was, not two, doing all that paperwork. And she saw the insurance companies and how things changed so dramatically over, you know, those period of a few years. And it has changed dramatically. And our government is not in a position to regulate that. And we need to get back to private sector and private system. And I understand we've had bills that would fix some of the concerns of doctors and would never get through Congress. And I'm not a big Paul Ryan fan, but he put through one of the best plans. It would have helped the doctors. It would have been good for them. And you can't even get the doctors to agree on anything. So we're in a bad, bad situation from healthcare, and we're going to be in a particularly bad situation if the government, who, as I said on the phone with Twyla, can't manage their lunch money. And now we're going to give them our entire healthcare system. It is a huge problem. I got to run, Marcy. I appreciate you weighing in. Folks, we'll be back. If you have to leave us, we hope you have a wonderful day. Remember, let's be found a good and faithful steward. Have a great day. God bless. More financial issues right after this.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.